This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Earlier this week, the Obama administration announced its EPA Clean Power Plan. It directs states to cut around 32% of greenhouse gas emissions from coal-burning power plants by 2030. But here in North Carolina, state officials are fighting the plan. The Senate voted yesterday to limit the response to federal standards. Governor Pat McCrory also vowed to fight the new rules in court. WUNC's environment reporter Dave DeWitt joins us now to talk about the latest. Dave, welcome back.
Hi, Frank.
All right, let's talk about the president's plan, the EPA Clean Power Plan. What is it? What would it do?
Well, as you mentioned, it reduces greenhouse gas emissions 32% by 2030. It's a section of the Clean Air Act called 111D, technically. And the plan went through a lot of different stages over the last year or so, thanks to about $500 million worth of lobbying from the oil and gas and coal industries and electric power industries. It did get changed somewhat, and in some ways it actually got made tougher. And in other ways, mostly about deadlines, it got made a little bit easier. The Obama administration really sees this as an opportunity to have a legacy in this world in the climate change, sea level rise issue. And so, you know, it has become really a political football at this point. We knew this was coming out, and so everybody sort of girded up their responses for this. It directs states to develop a plan on its own. Every state should have to do this. And those targets are different depending on the state and depending on what that state has already accomplished. And that's where we are now, sort of with what you mentioned the Senate has done here locally, is that states are forming up their responses.
All right. Well, let's talk about this. These are federal standards. They will go into effect. They will be the law of the land. Is that not true?
If it survives legal challenges, yes.
All right. So then what's the state's responsibility in this? You say to form a plan, but you've got the standard. You're going to have to meet it.
That's right. It's interesting. People are calling it Obama-air because it's not unlike Obamacare in that regard. The states are going to have to create these plans on their own. If they don't, then the federal standard will apply to them. And that's really where the argument is now at the state level. Should the state develop a plan or should it not develop a plan and lose its legal challenge and this other states that have legal challenges and then have to adopt the federal
plan. So where are we now? The state Senate does not want to develop that plan. The governor doesn't want to. Where are we now? What's happened most recently?
Well, when it got announced by the Obama administration on Monday, there was already a bill in the pipeline that had made it through committee in the state Senate that would forbid or prohibit Diener mostly, but other state agencies as well, from developing anything looking like a plan to comply with these EPA standards. Now, actually, Diener came back and said, well, we need to develop at least a part of this plan. You know, we don't agree with it, but we need to develop it just in case so the federal government won't come down. So the state Senate decided yesterday to allow Diener to do that, to comply with just the first part, but then also included language that says Diener shall engage in a lawsuit if it chooses with EPA.
We're going to fight it. Governor McCrory, not a fan of this plan either.
He's not, and his press release, he hasn't talked about it publicly, but he does have a press release that says he is not a fan. He sort of rode both sides, saying that North Carolina's already done a lot. And more importantly, his Secretary of Department of Environment and Natural Resources, Donald Vandervaart, who testified before Congress earlier this year, really doesn't like the plan.
There is universal agreement that the 111D rule will fundamentally restructure how energy is generated and consumed in America. I would argue that EPA's Section 111D rule is to energy what the Affordable Care Act is to health care. This fundamental change to America's electricity model will come at the hands of a rule that few consider legally firm. Despite the rule's uncertain future, state plans would need to move forward to allow, for example, switching from a cost-based energy dispatch model to a carbon dioxide dispatch model.
And what's interesting about that, obviously there's a lot of political rhetoric in there from Donald Vandervaart, but the switching from a cost-based model to a carbon dioxide-based model, you know, that's the history of this country built on coal, electricity, always developed as a cost-based model. What's the cheapest fuel? You know, lately it's been natural gas, but what's the cheapest fuel? How can we produce electricity absolute cheapest? It's only within the last decade and a half or so that we've even concerned ourselves with what's coming out of the smokestacks and what possible injuries that causes to us. It doesn't include things like, you know, the medical costs associated with dirty air. It doesn't include a lot of those things, but now it looks, at least through this EPA Clean Power Plant rule, that we are switching to that carbon dioxide-based model that will you know, cost these power plants a little bit of money in the near future.
Yeah, that's important to point out. When they talk about cost, they're talking about the cost to an owner of a power plant or to their shareholders.
That's right.
But they're not talking about the cost to a state for lost time due to air pollution related injuries and cleaning up the air. So there are costs on both sides.
Right.
And when we hear Vandervaart, for instance, talking about costs, he's only talking about the owners. So,
that's right. He's talking specifically about what it costs them to make electricity.
All right. So now, obviously, there's some opposition to this. Tell us about that.
You know, the opposition somewhat flummoxed almost. I think environmental advocates are pretty, you know, they knew this was coming. They saw the $500 million or so that was spent lobbying this. And what they see is that North Carolina has done some things already that have been pretty good for to get them to that level. Frank Rambo is a senior attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center. You know, he points out that Duke Energy has already closed a lot of its older, dirtier coal plants. North Carolina renewable energy portfolio standards are in place. And if North Carolina just stays the course, it will meet these standards.
When you factor in all those things that have happened recently and are committed to happening over the next few years, North Carolina would meet its proposed goal. So, you know, I don't know why an administration would dig in its heels other than some purely ideological tangent that they want to prove some sort of point when all they have to do is make sure things keep happening, and North Carolina would be set.
And North Carolina, you know, is on track to meet these standards, the target that it's set for it. The argument from the other side is that not only will the costs that these companies have to incur raise the level of electricity, but then that would be passed on to customers and harm low-income folks the most.
All right, there it goes. Those costs on the one side again. Duke Energy, major player in this, obviously. Where do they stand on all this?
You know, Duke Energy is a major player for a couple of reasons. One, it's the largest public utility, electric utility in the country, and the largest single carbon polluter in the country. So, you know, the EPA brought in everybody you can think of, all stakeholders in developing this rule. They talked to Duke Energy, they talked to coal companies, oil companies, anybody involved in that anybody and everybody involved in that process. It's you can't argue with that EPA listened to everybody. They clearly had this rule in place or thought it's not a whole lot different from what it was a year ago. Duke Energy is also involved at the state level. You know, they were one of the stakeholders, Trudy Wade, senator, who's been shepherding that Senate bill that would prohibit the rule being developed. Mm. They brought in Duke Energy. They brought in other places. They did not bring in environmental groups as stakeholders. That was pointed out yesterday during the floor debate. So Duke Energy, you know, publicly says, look, we've already done all these things that are going to make the air cleaner. And that is true. But they're also working like they do all the time and like any large company would do to try to minimize the cost effect on their company.
Frank Rambo of the Southern Environmental Law Center suggested that this is a kind of a political tactic. It's rhetorical because the state was already on track. What about this politically? North Carolina, obviously, in the hands of Republicans. How do we compare to other states, southern states, and those in Republican control?
You know, like other southern states and like other Midwestern states, this is not playing particularly well at the state legislature level. Not only Governor McCrory out against it, but state legislators are out against it as well. That's particularly toxic in the coal-producing states, which North Carolina is not. But the fact that North Carolina is the only state in the South with renewable energy portfolio standards, the fact that North Carolina is the state that just passed a wind farm. A wind farm is coming to North Carolina. Right. It's the first one in the South. There are things happening here that aren't happening in some of those other states. So in terms of meeting the target, North Carolina is better off. But politically, North Carolina falls right into line with those other states. What's interesting is a lot of other states' attorneys general that are Republicans have already started the process of filing a lawsuit against the EPA. North Carolina has not yet. Diener will probably file that lawsuit because the attorney general here in North Carolina is Roy Cooper. He's a Democrat. Mm. He's running for governor. He hasn't said anything publicly, but he's unlikely to get out in front of this in an election year.
No, but if when you say Diener would file suit, I mean, wouldn't they have to go through the attorney general's office or do they use their own legal staff? Any case, it's another costly lawsuit
that you could
either win or lose. But the state, of course, has lost a number of lawsuits when it came to voting rights and gay marriage. And those have cost us a lot of time and money, and they may embark on another lawsuit.
I believe that Republican lawmakers will do everything they can not to route this through the attorney general's office. They don't like that it's Roy Cooper picks and chooses how he defends the state or defends the legislative positions. So it's unlikely that it will go through there, but it may legally have to. I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see how it progresses because, you know, in the bill yesterday the Senate passed, and we should note the House has a very different idea of this. The House bill originally said that North Carolina should develop this plan. The Senate gutted that bill and then put prohibit on there. The House is not going to concur with that. It's going to throw it back into the budget process, the negotiation. It's all negotiation at this point in that building. So, you know, it's going to be decided there. And if it, you know, if the House or Senate ends up getting their way, it'll be because some other things were negotiated.
It sounds like if the state doesn't develop its own plan, it loses a lot of flexibility down the line when the federal standards are imposed on the state rather than the state getting out in front and deciding how to shape its own regulations.
Right, but the state is emboldened because of the recent Supreme Court decision that went against the EPA. That one had to do with mercury emissions, but a lot of people believe that if this makes its way through the courts and eventually ends up in front of the Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court will not fine for the EPA in this instance. Now, that can take years to happen. Administrations will change at the state and national level. So it's going to be one of those things that will go through both the political and legal processes in the years to come.
All right, Dave, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
WNC Environment reporter Dave DeWitt. You can find out more information and links to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, fiction writer Margaret Maron joins us to talk about the 20th and final book in the series of Judge Deborah Knott. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.